TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit more about basically Obamacare Lite that the Republicans and the president are floating right now. Also, this amazing Vault 7, the documents that were leaked by WikiLeaks, and they outline in detail the spying techniques that the FBI, the CIA, the NSA all have been using against Americans. Also, want to remind you that the Crosstown right now is closed. There was a transformer that exploded, and apparently there's some power lines down in the road there, so they decided to close that off. Now, we had a caller off air a little bit earlier this morning saying, hey, what was that bright light that lit up the sky? That may be it. That may have been what he was talking about, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen a transformer blow, but man, they really burn bright when they go. And what a sound and a flash they make. So that could be what that was. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Looks like former vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's running mate, his youngest son was arrested Saturday after counter-protesters disrupted a rally in support of President Donald Trump at the Minnesota State Capitol there in Minnesota. So Donald Trump supporters trying to get together, have a little rally for the March 4 Trump on March 4th. Get it? See what they did there? And apparently it got violent. Another one got violent out in Berkeley. Now, we remember these violent protests of people all over the country when Donald Trump was candidate Trump, and all of these people were showing up at his rallies. They were causing causing havoc. They were pelting people with eggs. We remember that. They were setting things on fire. I don't know. I remember. I'm thinking, if you think back at those Berkeley riots, I think maybe one person got arrested. But there was another guy out at Berkeley, and I don't agree with it, but I mean, I'm sorry. I thought it was, I had to laugh. I had to chuckle. This guy, Based Stickman, he was at a pro-Trump rally out there in Berkeley, and these Antifa, or the anti-fascist movement, decided they were going to interrupt the rally, and they decided they were going to do it violently. Well, unfortunately, they came across Base Stickman, who had a stick, and he cracks one of these Antifa protesters right upside the head with it, and he goes to jail. It doesn't matter that a 70-something-year-old man was pepper-sprayed and assaulted. I don't think his attackers went to jail. I don't think the people at Berkeley that attacked that guy on the bicycle went to jail, knocked him out completely. And it's just, it's amazing. It's getting really ugly out there, and it's getting ugly because of the left. These people are showing up. They're causing violence. Now, remember the whole conversation, the narrative during the Trump campaign was that Donald Trump causes violence. And that's not exactly the case. These people are showing up. They're becoming violent. They're wearing masks, and we've seen them all over the place. So Base Stickman kind of extolled his revenge on one of those attackers. And, you know, he gets to spend the night in jail. I don't even know if he's been released. I don't even know his real name yet. We know he's become a meme, though. He's become a pretty famous internet meme. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. When we get back, we're going to talk more about Vault 7 and this release of information from the CIA about, from WikiLeaks, about how exactly the CIA is spying on you. You might want to put your smartphone away for a moment when we talk about this, because they'll be listening.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8:21, 21 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's 8:21. I have been here in the studio for several hours now. I have not seen a single woman. No women in the studio. Well, that's not unusual, though. Today is, not only is it International Women's Day, it's also the Day Without Women. This is a protest, a general strike, if you will, by women across the nation to make sure that their rights aren't trampled on. Of course, we don't know what rights they're talking about, but all you ladies out there that are thinking about taking part in this Day Without Women, let me introduce you to your leader. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you haven't done your due diligence to check out and see what this whole thing was about. The leader of this movement is a woman called Razmi Youssef Odeh. Yes, she called on women around the world to join her in a new wave of militant feminist struggle. But according to the New York Post, the Palestinian Odeh, are you ready? This is your leader now. If you're not going to work, if you're taking the day off, all those people up there, the school teachers in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, who the school had to shut down today, the school district shut down today because these women were taking a day off. This is your leader, Razmi Youssef Odeh. She was convicted for her role in two terrorist bombings, one of them which killed two students in a shopping center in an Israeli supermarket in 1969. So she's also a murderer. She spent 10 years in prison. And then, you ready for this? She managed to become a U.S. citizen back in 2004 by lying about her past. Now, that's bad, right? Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. It gets worse. 2014, she was convicted of immigration fraud. Immigration fraud. So, therefore, why is she still in this country? So this is one of the people that Donald Trump is looking at keeping out of the United States. This is a woman who obviously wasn't vetted, because would you allow someone into this country who was a militant, who was a terrorist, who bombed an Israeli shopping center in 1969, killing two students? She's a murderer, and she gets into this country by lying on her visa. I know about it. You know about it. The government knows about it. So why the heck is she still here? Then she was convicted for immigration fraud, like I said, back in 2014. She's set for a new trial coming up this spring after claiming that post-traumatic stress disorder caused her to lie on her application. Well, did it also cause you to take part in that bombing in 1969 that killed two people? So the strike organizers designated today for the strike walkout march and demonstrate in favor of the new feminism movement. They're seeking to build on momentum from the women's marches, which were held January 21st, the day after the inauguration, to show opposition to President Trump. So that's your leader. I think I saw her in Star Wars. I think it was the bar scene. I'm pretty sure she's definitely a part of the Alliance, or whoever the bad guys are. She's a dark Sith. I know that. She's a Sith Lord.
She's part of the Empire.
The Empire, yes. The Empire. I think she might be the leader of the Empire. So she's in this country. Shouldn't be here. Going to get another try. So we find out she lied on her application. All right, so let's say we find out a jury says, all right, well, you had post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's why you lied on your application. Okay, that's fine. We'll accept that, just hypothetically. We'll accept that excuse. Does that erase the fact that she spent 10 years in a prison for terrorism and murder? Do we still, all right, so what do we do? Do we let her go out and fill out another application? Yeah, go ahead. Let's see. Let's see what you put on this one. Now that you're all straightened up. In any case, this woman should be rounded up and sent back to wherever she came from. She does not need to be here in the United States. But, ladies, that's all of you ladies up there in Chapel Hill. Congratulations. That's your leader. That's the lady you're following, like it or not. A convicted terrorist calling for you not to go to work today. Well, that's just perfect. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I have got some tickets to give away coming up in just a few minutes to Boys to Baghdad. Going to be at the Satilli Theater on Saturday night. It's a fantastic play. You don't want to miss out on that. It's really, really good. I had a lot of people calling in clamoring for these tickets, and you could win these tickets coming up in just a little bit. All right, so we had that big... We're going to talk a little bit more in a few minutes about this. I don't know. They're even calling it Trump Care. They're calling it. I don't even know what the Republicans are calling it these days. But this health care bill that they're looking at floating, I'm not real crazy about it. But if you want to read it, you can go to readthebill.gop. That's readthebill.gop and read this new health care bill that they're planning. Again, not a big fan of that. I just don't think it goes far enough. And in some cases, I think it goes too far as government overreach into health care and the health care mandate. So, again, that's coming up for you. Also, we're finding out so much information coming in. I want to play this for you. We only got about a minute left. Going to play Maxine Waters and her statements from back in 2013 about a database that President Obama had. You're not going to believe what she had to say. Also, Tim Clemente, former FBI counterterrorism expert, he goes on to say something about CIA spying. And then we're going to read you what General Petraeus had to say about how the government is going to collect information on private citizens. On Americans. We're talking about the United States government spying on average, ordinary, hardworking, law-abiding American citizens and how they can do it. You might want to put a cover over your toaster.
WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 20 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Chris in Somerville. Chris, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good, good. What's up, man? Are you celebrating Women's Day?
I am like just in full celebration mode right now.
Fantastic.
I was really not going to call in this morning until that last break you did when I heard the woman talking about what they're standing for.
Right.
And the resistance and all that. Well, allow me to put on my feminist or my sexist hat for a minute, and I say that jokingly so nobody gets butt hurt. But the thing is the one thing that she doesn't stand for is common sense. I mean, everything I heard, that we're standing with the Muslims, go to Saudi Arabia and stand.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Saudi Arabia and stand with the Muslims. They will beat you if you don't have on your burqa. You can't drive. You can't leave the house, you know, without a man.
Right.
You get raped. You have to have 4 eyewitnesses to say that you were raped. If not, then you're the one who goes to prison.
Right.
I was laughing so loud. I was like, you've got to be the most confused individual woman I've ever heard in my life.
They don't understand it, do they?
I mean, all the women that represent them, and I'm sorry to say this, they're idiots. You got a murdering Palestinian woman. The other woman at the other march or whatever in Washington, she was a murderer that got out of prison. I mean, it's hilarious. It really is.
I don't understand why these women and feminists are protecting radical Islamists who, like you said, I mean, they beat their women. They're forced to wear burqas. They have rules and regulations about how you can beat your wife, how you can you can chain her and keep sex slaves and things like that. Chris, it's mind-boggling.
The whole thing about the rape is what just pisses me off so bad. A poor woman gets raped over there, And if there ain't four men, oh, not just witnesses, four men,
yeah,
witnesses, that confirm she was raped, then she goes to prison for being raped.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, you know, I just don't, it's just, you know, it's sad, but it is hilarious what they're standing for. It's just mind-boggling.
It really is. Now, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, should we celebrate International Women's Day? Absolutely. With all the great strides and all of the contributions and accomplishments of women all over the world, absolutely, we should celebrate that. But we shouldn't tie it in with people who want to make women not second-class citizens, but property. When is that a good thing? Jim's in North Charleston. Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Mr. Charlie.
Yes, sir.
This is in the line of the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was waking up this morning and heard that a little bit about our devices spying on us.
Right.
And it reminded me back when I was in elementary school, there was a joke going around about television.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Soviet Union and America, they were so different. Yet, they said, but they're not really that different. They have television, too. The difference is, in America, you watch television.
Yeah.
In the Soviet Union, Russia, it watches you.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you had to mention the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I remember as a, you know, I was just a teenager. You know how foolish teenagers are.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, this doesn't make any sense. Here you have the women's movement talking about all the inequities in America and in Europe, and yet this is exactly where they had much more than they had in the third world countries, in the Muslim countries, even the Hindu countries and all. I mean, what are people thinking?
I know. You know what? I don't think they are. I don't think they are, Jim. I appreciate you calling in. Wayne wants to talk about Obamacare this morning. Wayne, how are you doing on this Wednesday morning?
I'm fine. As listening to the show, there's so much going on.
A lot.
You know, the most intrusive thing with my doctor and all doctors, Obamacare required a computer program in your physician's hand in order to give you an exam. I got Medicare through my wife. I got supplementary insurance, but I pay cash for my visit.
Right.
Because I like my doctor visit to be private.
Yeah.
I've gone back to mailing, you know, the post office.
Right.
And I use two other computers by Nifty. I buy two notebooks to put my most personal information in.
Right.
They never crash and they never get a virus. Always enjoy your show. The weather in Florida is nice. To tell John and Fred to have a blessed day.
I'll do it. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate you calling in. Coming up, we're going to talk more about this this spying ordeal that's going on, this WikiLeaks dump. And I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to go back to around 1986 in my life for this, and you'll see how it all ties in.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is 8:50, 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. All right, boys and girls, gather around. It's Uncle Charlie's story time. Tales from My Life. For this story, we're going to go back to, around 1986. Of course, everybody knows that I grew up in the Augusta, Georgia, North Augusta, Aiken area, the CSRA there. And, of course, that's where James Brown was from, right? Of course, the godfather of soul. James Brown, been over to my house many times. A very good friend of the family. So I had a phone call one day from a friend of mine who owned a recording studio in Augusta, and he said, you got to get over here and listen to this. James Brown was on Miami Vice, all right? He was on an episode of Miami Vice. And in this scene in Miami Vice, he plays an R&B star who's also a cult leader. This woman comes up, and she's got a picture of him, and she asks him for his autograph. And in the scene, the girl says to James Brown, you look different than your picture. And James Brown's line is, yeah, they touch him up a bit. That's it. That's the line. And action. No. All right, take two. No. Sorry, James. Let's clear that up a little bit. And take three, go. Take over and over and over again. Cannot get it right. They tried to clean it up out in Hollywood and couldn't do it. So they called my friend at the recording studio and said, can you get James in the studio? We're setting up an appointment. James is going to come into the studio. Get him to cut this line. It took about 20 takes before James finally was able to say, yeah, they touch him up a bit to where you could understand what he's talking about. That's just a setup to this part. So James and my buddy were talking in the recording studio there, and James says, I'm not going to have a conversation here. I was like, what do you mean? He said, let's step outside. So they step outside. He said, I can't talk in there. All the microphones are wired to Washington. And everybody was thought, oh, well, James Brown, he's just, he's paranoid. Maybe he wasn't paranoid. Maybe he was more of a prophet than anybody knew, because now we're hearing all of this stuff coming up from WikiLeaks about how your appliances could be spying on you. Now, we had this WikiLeaks dump, but I want to take you back again to back 2013. This is Maxine Waters on a talk show, and listen to what she had to say. Wait a minute, hold on. I got to turn the volume up here and so you can hear this thing. Here is what Maxine Waters had to say.
Democratic ticket have to deal with that. They're going to have to go down with that database and the concerns of those people.
All right, wait a minute. That's not done. You got about 10 seconds. I got to let this thing roll through. I don't know why we're doing this, but here we go. We'll have this for you coming up in just 2 seconds here. Here we go. Here's what Maxine Waters had to say finally.
Made clear to our viewers and listeners is that, look, this is the inauguration represented the beginning of his second term.
Yes.
But it also represented the countdown of the end of his presidency.
That's right.
And the reality is, like anything else, you better get what you can while he's there, because, look, come 2016, that's it.
Well, you know, I don't know. And I think some people are missing something here. The president has put in place an organization that contains the kind of database that no one has ever seen before in life. That's going to be very, very powerful. And whoever...
In terms of the Organizing for America, that he's now shifting to become a 501c4.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that database will have information about everything on every individual in ways that it's never been done before. And whoever runs for president on the Democratic ticket...
All right, it's got information on that database on everyone about everything. Everyone about everything. This is 2013, they're talking. So then we've got Tim Clemente. He's a former FBI counterterrorism expert. He was on CNN, and this was back when we were looking for the wife of the Boston City bomber, and they were talking about maybe conversations that she had had with Sarnoff on his phone. Listen to what Tim Clemente had to say.
Tim, is there any way? Now, obviously, it was a voicemail. They could try to get the phone companies to give that up at this point. But if it's not a voicemail, it's just a conversation. There's no way they actually can find out what happened, right? Unless she tells them.
No, there is a way. We certainly have ways in national security investigations to find out exactly what was said in that conversation. It's not necessarily something that the FBI is going to want to present in court, but it may help lead the investigation and or lead the questioning of her.
So we can certainly find that out. Somewhere it's being digitized, or they can actually get that. Because people were saying, look, that wouldn't be possible. Yes. It's pretty incredible what you're saying.
No, welcome to America. All of that stuff is being captured as we speak, whether we know it or like it or not.
Note to self, as Deb Farrick just said here,
Basically, everything that you have to say in your telephone conversations is being captured and stored by the United States government. Does that scare you at all? Does that raise red flags with you? Back in, I believe, 2015, James Clapper, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, told the Senate that his agency is looking at the possibility of using the Internet of Things or ordinary devices connected to the internet and transmitting various information on its owners using microchips for surveillance work. Microchips. And now we're hearing all of this. Folks, if this doesn't make you want to put on your tinfoil hat, I don't know what will. Now, back in 2012, David Petraeus already brought up the possibility of using the Internet of Things for surveillance work, calling it transformational, particularly in the their effect on what they're calling clandestine tradecraft, which is basically using things that you have in your home that are connected to the Internet to be able to spy on you. So if you're television. Now, think about this. Think about this, all right? You've got a smartphone right here, and I'm going to do mine right now. I'm going to say, hey, Siri. There we go. Is the government spying on me right now?
I don't understand. There we go. Is the government spying on me right now? But I could search the web for it.
No, that's okay. Thank you very much. So everything you remember, all I had to say was, hey, Siri, and she heard it. So doesn't that make you think that this phone is listening to every single thing I say? So if I use words like, I don't know, bomb, man, that show, I went to this movie the other night, and that thing was a bomb. Bing, bing. They start recording. What if you use the word gun, or you use the word drug, or you use the word spy, or you use the word Russia, or you use any of these words that automatically start tripping something to where the government can spy on your private conversation? We'd already find out that Samsung TVs have the ability to do that. And the government can actually go in, and I swear, I know this stuff sounds crazy. I know it does. Mark's downtown. Mark, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'll make this quick. My brother works in a legal capacity for the government for the past 30-odd years, fairly highly placed attorney. He came to visit me, and we're talking, amongst other things, we're walking down my dock. It's about a 400-foot dock, and we're talking about the government. About halfway through, he stops on the dock, looks around, and says, if people really knew what was going on in the government, they would march on Washington with torches. And he's looking around out in the middle of nowhere on a dock.
To see if anything was spying on him.
Anything was close enough to him that could capture his voice.
Wow. That's unbelievable. I mean, I 5 years ago, heck, last month, we might have thought this was all black helicopter stuff, but it looks like it's becoming a reality, or it is a reality, Mark.
No, so, he is a few years.
Mark, I appreciate it. I got to hit a hard break here. Thank you so much for your call this morning.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Hey, it's 6 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Oh, Sheila just texted me. She reminded me of something that happened the other night. We were just talking about your phones and all that, listening to them. Sheila and I were sitting around, we were talking about something, and she said, are you serious? And when she said that, her phone went bing, bing, and it was Siri kicking on. Yep, your phones listen to everything you say. I love the government. No, the joy that I have paying my taxes, this time of year is the best for me because I love paying my taxes to the United States government. It's a joy.
I might even pay a little extra.
Yes, I think I will pay extra. Siri?
Oh, hope that'll get the IRS off our backs.
Debbie is in Mount Pleasant. Debbie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Quick question. Have you ever seen a movie with Will Smith? I believe it was called Eagle Eye. It came out a number of years ago.
No,
fascinating movie, but it is on the very topic that you're talking about. This guy, short story, the guy's an attorney, and he's just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, and somebody drops something in his bag. It is amazing, and this is a Hollywood movie.
Right.
It is amazing the lengths that the government went to track him down, locate him, listen to everything he and his family talked about, where he went, how he was bugged. mean, this is Hollywood, but it's so capable.
It really is. I mean, Debbie, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And listen, I don't think, do I think the government's listening? I can't say that now. I can't, I could say that yesterday. I can't say that now, that the government's not listening into everything that you have to say while your phone is within earshot. But are they actually going back and finding out all of this stuff that you're talking about? Probably not. Probably not. I mean, my gosh, you can't listen to every conversation that anybody listens to. But if there are certain, we'll say, I mean, we know this happens with emails. If you put certain things in emails, had a friend of mine. Oh, this is, oh my gosh, I just remembered this. This was, ah, oh, trying to remember. I'm going to go back 2005, maybe something like that. Anyway, this guy was sending an email back and forth. And they were discussing some business associates of theirs. The guy lived up in Charlotte. And he mentioned this one group, this company, that was at that time on the terror watch list. Gosh, it's been so long ago. I guess it's been over 12 years ago. I'm trying to remember exactly what the circumstances were. But anyway, he mentioned this one guy's name in the email. The government intercepted his email. Now, this is a rich guy. This is a multimillionaire. The government intercepted his email, threw his butt in jail. Not only that, they froze all of his assets. It was I got to go back and try to think about exactly what all the details were that, but it was crazy. Eventually, the guy cleared his name. Got all his money back, but not before a lot of damage was done. Let's go to North Charleston and talk to Richard. How are you, Richard?
All right. How you doing today, Charlie?
Good, good. What's up?
Charlie, InfoWars has been talking about this for years, and they've been laughing at him.
Yeah.
So you think they're laughing at him now?
Probably not.
Yeah, because it's right what he's been saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, we never had any proof of it until now. Now we've got the actual proof. And I know Alex Jones, everybody talks about what a whack job he is. And in some cases he is, but I think he's, I think he may see his day coming, his day in the sun coming.
That's right. I think so. And you know, Daniel Bandino, CIA agent?
Yeah.
Okay. I was listening to him the other day on Facebook, his Facebook page.
Right.
And he said the way Donald Trump found out that the towels were tapped, he says every so often that the CIA will run signals around the president to find out if he's being tapped.
Right.
Wherever he goes, they do this. He believes that the CIA ran these signals around the president to find out if anybody was tapping in, and when they discovered that the tower was being tapped, they went to him and told him about it, and that's how he found out.
It could well be. Could well be that he was tipped off. Yeah, I mean, they do that sweep. They do that bug sweep. We've seen that in all the James Bond movies. All of this stuff not seeming so far-fetched anymore, is it, Richard?
It sure isn't.
All right, buddy, I appreciate you calling in. You be careful what you say out there today. Harry is in North Charleston. Let's talk about the Obamacare repeal. What's going on with you, Harry?
Yeah. Well, you know, since the government's listening to our phones, why didn't everybody just text or call, you know, repeal completely Obamacare? Put in one of the bills that's already been passed by Congress and the Senate.
Yeah,
they don't have to go through this rigmarole again. Just have one of the bills, resubmit one of the bills that have been passed already and get it done.
We'll see. I haven't really read the full bill yet. It's pretty lengthy, but you can read it at readthebill.com or .gop. What do you think about the replacement bill?
I don't think it's the right one.
I don't either.
Complete repeal and get something that is completely different than what Obamacare is. The taxes, the mandate, all those things are not good. There's so much interlaid restrictions in Obamacare in this 900-plus page bill that nobody would ever know. You can go to jail doing something with that, I'm sure, if they wanted
right.
to, because you didn't follow one little phrase that they might have in there. You never know.
Kevin, I appreciate it. They say the average person commits 3 felonies a day. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. And they know everything. Kevin is in Mount Pleasant. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Charlie. I'll be brief.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's mentioned
George Orwell this morning. Has his name come up?
Well, I didn't mention it, but it's certainly something I've been thinking about because, you know, he had the Ministry of Truth in 1984, and he had the fact that your television basically spies on you.
Google George Orwell, Big Brother is watching you.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago in the early to mid-'80s when I was like, what is this guy talking about? And I'm all for surveillance cameras, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've solved so many crimes, it's unbelievable. I'm all for that. If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have to worry about a surveillance camera.
But right.
You start tapping my phone and my computer, and I don't know about it.
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
It is absolutely wrong. Kevin, it's a scary time that we live in, and we appreciate you calling in. Scary time we live in, and we're finding out that it's a lot scarier than we even thought. And the fact that our government has this technology that can do this, and I know all of this sounds all black helicopter and tinfoil hat and all of that, but, I mean, my gosh, look at what WikiLeaks, I mean, they're talking about being able to hack into a car, and while you're driving down the road, they can turn your car off. So now, let's just think about that. Let's think about how that application or that technology where they could come in and hack into your car, lock the steering up or lock the braking system or control your cruise control, disable your accelerator. What are they going to be able to do to these driverless cars that are going to be on the road, and these driverless trucks out there? What will they be able to do with those? It's just scary. Now, we do have some good news we're going to be talking about this morning. It seems like last month we added a lot. I can't say we. I didn't have anything to do with it, maybe. But President Donald Trump added a lot of jobs to our economy. We're going to give you the details on that, just a few minutes. Robert is out in Johns Island. Robert, how are you?
Good. How are you, Charlie?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to tell you that I remember something a while back, a few years back. They were talking about a place, I think in Colorado, where they a building that they had that was cataloging all phone calls, and they were talking about being able to pull up any call, you know, anytime. NSA was doing that.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting because, they have millions and millions of phone calls, and that tells me that, they've been spying on us for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think right now what we've gotten to is where technology is today, it's a lot easier for them to do it than it's ever been before.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It is easier. But I think it's been going on for quite some time, and I think we're just becoming more aware of it.
Right, right. But would we be aware of it without these WikiLeaks? Robert, I appreciate you calling in. 16 minutes past 9 o'clock. Oh, and by the way, the movie that the lady was calling about a little bit earlier, I think it's called, we had another caller call in and say it was called Enemy of the State. So I want to go back and watch these movies. They may have just been trying to warn us.
1250 WTMA welcomes Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band to the Volvo Car Stadium May 11th. And we've got free tickets. Sign up to win at WTMA.com. That's WTMA.com. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
It's 9:23 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up a little bit after 9:30 this morning, we're going to be talking with Megan Barth from ReaganBaby.com, one of the favorite guests that we have on the show. We're going to be talking about the International Women's Day, the Women's March, the all of that that's going on out there. So we got so much we haven't had a chance to get to this morning, such as this and right here. Now, what was the main? Donald Trump basically ran on two main points. Number one, build the wall. Number two, bring jobs back to America, right? Well, it looks like he's doing a pretty darn good job of the latter one. Last month, companies added jobs at a blistering pace. Now, this was a shift away from service sector positions that have dominated hiring for years, according to this report that was released this morning. Employment in the private sector surged by 298,000 jobs in February. 298, that's over a quarter of a million jobs for the month. Goods producers added 106,000 jobs. This, according to AP and Moody's Analytics, they said construction jobs swelled by 66,000, and manufacturing added 32,000 jobs last month. Now, they expected about 190,000 jobs, but it was almost 300,000 jobs that were added to our economy just last month alone. Robert is downtown. How are you, Robert?
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
You know, I have been doing computer forensics since 1984, professional.
Right.
And the stuff I have seen would make your skin crawl.
Well, like, what do you mean? What would make my skin crawl?
You know, Charlie, someday you and me need to have lunch.
I would love that.
About these in detail. But the stuff that is able to be done is just simply, I mean, I've seen stuff on hard drives that made me scratch my head, you know, that I couldn't even decipher. And, you know, it took sometimes 2 or 3 years later, I'll find an article where, you know, somebody with, you know, millions of dollars worth of assets behind them were able to decipher what that was.
Right.
The fact that, you know, the governments have unlimited budgets to do the stuff. You know, hackers are out there working in their mother's basement for the most part.
Right.
And are able to do all kinds of things. Hackers right now can take over smart TVs and throw up a message saying, "This your $1,000 TV is now locked until you send some bitcoins to this address, and then we'll unlock your TV."
Sure.
They're doing that from Romania and Yugoslavia and Russia. But the ability for state actors with billion-dollar budgets, I mean, it's just insane what they are able to do.
So, Robert, when you
let me tell you this. Yeah. We've had instances of people in other parts of the world, and even in the United States, that have ordered equipment from big vendors like Cisco.
Yeah.
And the government knows about the order. They go to FedEx, and they intercept the package. They open it and install monitoring software that's unseeable, unknowable, unfindable, and then seal it back up and deliver it to the customer.
Yeah. And we have found out that there was a scandal with the computer manufacturer Lenovo. Do you remember hearing about that?
Lenovo has had, I mean, Lenovo is actually an old IBM, IBM organization, and they have had problems since day one with malware getting into their systems, with crapware getting into their systems. I wouldn't touch their systems with a 10-foot pole.
Right. So you, as a I'm a computer specialist, when you go into a computer and you're looking at the code and all of that, there are things you expect to find, right? Kind of like you're doing an autopsy. There's a liver, there's a heart, there's the lungs. But you're saying to me that you go into some computers and you're like, what the heck is this?
Well, I mean, one of our first things we look for consistency and look for stuff that doesn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
We also have what's called hashes, and that is when you take a file or a program and somebody discovers, oh, this is some bad or nasty stuff, or this is child exploitation materials or whatever, we can take a fingerprint of a file, and then there are millions and millions of these fingerprints of bad files that I can run software against your system and find any of those previously known bad files are hidden somewhere on your system.
Right.
But, you know, the government is getting in. I mean, I remember many years ago they used to do these, when they got the authority to do these sneak and peek warrants, where they could come into your house when you're not there and install stuff in your computer while you're not there and then leave, and you would never know they were there because they never served a warrant on you.
Right.
They don't have to do that anymore. They can now do it all remotely. Just by visiting a web page, you can get government-created spy software down into your computer that can turn on your video, turn on your camera on your laptop, turn on your speaker. I mean, the steps that I go through with people who need to be secure from this kind of stuff is, you know what? You actually don't use your computer for talking. Just completely remove the microphone ability from the computer. Don't use your computer for chatting. Don't use your computer for Skype. Just completely, so there's no camera or monitor connected to it to be exploited. I mean, you realize we had virus software or malware that was able to destroy hundreds of centrifuges at a nuclear plant in Iraq. Or, excuse me, in Iran.
Yeah, in Iran.
And that software was actually so well written that it would only deliver its payload and only take action in a specific plant based on the configuration of that plant. So if it got out, it wouldn't affect any other plants anywhere else in the world.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Robert, that's some scary stuff, buddy.
Stuff is what they're doing.
Yeah, I got to hit a break here. I appreciate you calling in. Sean is out on John's Island. We'll get to you in just a second. Please hold on for us.
1250 WTMA. TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 9:35 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Real quick, because I got Megan Barth standing by, let's go to Sean out on John's Island. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Charlie?
Good, good. What's up, buddy?
I just joined the show this morning. What y'all talking about?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man. When I was 18, I worked at a job with an amazing man, Vietnam veteran. 17 confirmed hand-to-hand combat kills. And I never asked him or pushed the issue, asking him questions about stuff. But one time he opened up and told me about seeing satellite images from 1969 of a Soviet tank.
Right.
And on the tank, you could see the crew and a pack of cigarettes. He said you could read the label on the cigarette.
Yeah.
This was 1969.
Right. And imagine how far we've come in technology since 1969. Right. It's
exactly.
Sean, I appreciate you calling in. Let's get to Megan Barth. Now, she is busy because apparently she's on strike or something today. Megan, how are you?
Hey, I'm working today, Charlie. Like the rest of the victim feminazis that are out there marching or something today, yes.
That's right. Today is International Women's Day. It's also Take the Day Off from Work Day for a lot of women. Can you believe they're shutting down school districts in certain cities because of these people trying to take leave, these women?
No, I can't, but yes, I can.
Right.
Because one of the largest sponsors of this Women's March, if you go to womensmarch.com, you'll see who's paying for this spectacle. And the teachers' unions are one of the largest sponsors, along with NARAL, along with Planned Parenthood, the SEIU, and Communist USA.
Aha.
Ah.
Well, that makes sense now, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. And so when you look at the cast of characters that are their partners or their sponsors, you have to ask yourself, what do communists, pro-abortionists, and Palestinian terrorists have in common?
Mm-hmm.
The Women's March.
Right. It's it's unbelievable. And the main woman that is calling for this march, for this international strike, basically, if you will. This woman is a convicted terrorist, and
yes,
she's here in this country.
Yes, illegally. Her name is Rasmia Yusufzoda, I think is how you spell
right.
it, or say it. She spent 10 years in prison following her 1970 conviction in Israel for taking part in two 1969 bombings, one of which resulted in the death of two students. She was also an alleged former member of the PFLP, which is a Palestinian terrorist organization. She aided in the bombing of the British consulate in 1969. They claimed responsibility for that. And she managed to become a U.S. citizen in 2004. However, she was convicted of immigration fraud in 2014. Sentenced to 18 months in prison, stripped of her citizenship, and considered for deportation pending appeal. I'd say get the bus that's driving most of the teachers whose schools are closing down. Put her on the bus and get her down to the border and deport her.
So you are saying that teachers' unions are actually sponsoring this walkout, basically?
Yes.
Does that violate their contract?
Well, that's a good question. I would think so.
Yeah.
And here we have, this is supposedly for the women or whatever they're marching for. It's not supposed to be an anti-Trump rally.
Right.
So this is supposedly for the women. But can you imagine the amount of single mothers, working mothers, that now have to either take a day off work or find daycare and pay for daycare?
Right.
They're losing, these poor women are losing money as these teachers are taking another holiday. I mean, how many days off do the teachers need? This is an extra holiday.
And that may be nice for them, but what about the lady that's working in the cafeteria?
Right.
Now she doesn't have a job to go to today. Or the single moms that have to take the day off because their kids don't have school today. How much money are they going to... How is that honoring women at all?
It's not. And when you look at the cast of characters that are either sponsoring this event or part of their coalition or their partners, I mean, what are these teachers? So these teachers have a lot in common with Communist USA. Is that what they're saying?
Right.
They have a lot in common with the Palestinian terrorists. Just like the last woman's march, when you had an oversexed old hag named Madonna who was claiming that she wanted to blow up the White House, and then you had other communist sympathizers and Islamic sympathizers, Sharia-loving sponsors like Linda Sadsour, who's part of the board, who wants to have Sharia law in this country. She's on the board of the Women's March. When you look at all the radicals that are associated with this woman's march, you have to ask yourself, what do women have in common with these radicals? All the women that I know don't. But if you don't look at who's sponsoring and who's the partners, then you might be naive enough to think that this is just, you know, a demonstration for equal rights.
Right.
You know?
Well, but I want to know, Megan, you know, they keep talking about that. I mean, we had... was it talking about how women's rights have been rolled back? What rights has anybody lost since January the 20th when Donald Trump was inaugurated the 45th president of the United States? How many rights have we lost? Zero.
Zero. And if I need to remind these women who keep screaming about equal rights, it was their savior, Barack Obama, who they voted for in droves, that passed the Lilly Ledbetter Act. Now, the Lilly Ledbetter Act was one of his initial bills that he sponsored and passed, which was supposed to equalize the playing field for women. Well, didn't he do it? And what are they still marching for?
Right.
And it was supposed to create equal pay and give equal rights and equal results and all the equality that these victims are screaming about. But yet, he and Hillary Clinton and many other Democrats still pay women less if they're on their staff. Like Hillary Clinton paid her women staffers 22% less.
Bernie Sanders, same thing.
Talk about the truth.
Bernie no, they don't.
It's the same thing.
And speaking of that, they say that this is a day where we are compelled to stand with women around the globe. Are they standing with the women in Saudi Arabia? Are they standing with the women in Yemen and in all of these radical Islamic countries where women are less than second-class citizens? Where's the outrage over those ideologies?
Well, there's not, because one of the board members of this march is a Sharia sympathizer named Linda Sadsour out of New York. She is a radical Islamic feminist, I guess, because she wants Sharia law, which is the most subjugative to women. And then you see a bunch of the other victims wearing, I'm surprised they don't have like American flag burqas.
Right. Well, we've seen that, yeah.
Why American flags? I hate America. Communist burqas. I think that they should all wear communist burqas while they're marching.
Yeah,
with the hammer and sickle.
Yeah, but yet, these are the same people that will vilify successful women in this country. You know, like, hey, Ivanka Trump.
Or Kellyanne Conway.
Or, you know,
people like me.
Are you? Yeah, I'm sure you. Now, you're being spied on right now by the government, so be careful. But
that's been going on for years.
Yeah, we've known about that. So, but they will vilify successful women if they have this, if they have a conservative ideology. And they do the same thing with African-Americans. And it's well beyond sickening, Megan.
Well, their empowerment now comes, the feminists, I guess you'd like to call them, now come through victimization and victimhood. whereby now all of a sudden the patriarchy is keeping them down.
Right.
It's amazing to me what they find empowering, and that's to create a bunch of victims. And a bunch of abortion-loving, communist-sympathizing, Sharia-sympathizing supporters.
And really, that's what they're upset about, the fact that they feel like Donald Trump is going to take away a woman's right to get an abortion. That's their main concern.
Yeah.
If you boil it all down.
Right. They won't tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's their main concern. And it's absolutely ridiculous that would have to take an act of a Supreme Court to overturn the Supreme Court decision is not going to happen in your lifetime or mine. But when you look at the trend, especially amongst millennials and a majority of the country, there is only 30% of people agree with abortion after 3 months.
Right.
Only 30%. So they're not representing the majority in this country. So I don't understand why schools are closing down in order to give these teachers another day off, especially when this type of march is related to the radical fringe in this country and does not represent a majority of women in this country.
So let's say somebody came to you and said, Megan, we want to do an International Day of Women where we celebrate women, and we want you to head this thing up. What would it look like if you were in charge of it?
Oh, my gosh. I would probably have some of the most powerful women in the country, as well as past leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Condoleezza Rice.
Sure.
I mean, what an amazing woman. I would dedicate it to the women who have really done great things on behalf of this republic that have created change and more opportunity. I would have single mothers if they could get off work. I mean, there is a whole, like I said, the majority of women in this country do not align themselves with the values put forward of this organization, Women's March, as well as their sponsors, as well as their partners. They simply do not align ideologically or with anything else politically,
right,
especially when it comes to abortion. I think that many of the women, especially the younger women, are misled, thinking that, you know, they're doing something. But, you know, the indoctrination starts early. Mm. There's an 11-year-old girl who's organizing her own march in Fresno, California. And when I listened to what she was talking about, equality and all of this, I'm like, wow, well, she's been indoctrinated pretty early.
Yeah.
I mean, has she ever gone maybe just south of the border to Mexico and seen how kids down there are struggling to just walk the streets in safety?
Yeah.
I mean, when you raise children to hate this country, these are the types of social justice warriors you get at a very young age.
That's right. You can check her out at ReaganBaby.com, the always wonderful Megan Barth. Yes.
I'm Reagan Babe.
That's right. There was some issue
my website.
Yeah, hijacked your website.
Story.
ReaganBabe.com.
Yes.
All right. Make a note of that and put it in your favorites bar. We appreciate it, Megan. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Megan Barth on with us. Remember, that's ReaganBabe.com. That's a big story there.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 9:52, 8 minutes until 10 o'clock. Remember, today is your Day Without Women's Day.
All right. Public service announcement for Day Without Women. Take one. Connie? Did she forget something? Connie? I think she left.
Yeah. So, doggone it, we had the voiceover girl in, woman in, and apparently she's taking the day off, too. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Last night, everybody was talking about the health care plan, including our very own Stephen Colbert.
One of the other differences is that Trump Care replaces federal insurance subsidies with tax credits. So everything's going to be fine, but you're going to have your colonoscopy at H&R Block.
Well, that makes sense. Jimmy Kimmel also talked about it.
Also in Washington, D.C., House Republicans have unveiled their much-anticipated new health care plan. This is the one that's supposed to replace Obamacare. They're calling it the American Health Care Act. Here's what we know about it so far. The new plan stresses personal responsibility, which for, you know, too long, Americans have relied on other people like doctors and nurses for their health care. According to this new plan, larger employees, big companies, would no longer be required to provide their full-time employees with health insurance. So if you hate working for a big corporation, don't worry, you'll be dead soon.
Okay, there you go. So that makes that's a pretty much a straw man argument right there. You obviously don't hate the, you don't like the workers. You don't like the workers. So the health care, I, and for a long time, I have wondered why employers are involved in the healthcare industry. Why was it mandated? Now, that was, used to be called something, kids, pay attention. Used to be called something called a benefit when you go to work for a corporation. You go to work for a big company, you know, you look at your, salary and go, all right, I like that. It's a nice salary. I'll take that. Oh, and here's your benefits package. See, benefits, this is kind of like above and beyond what you get paid in salary. So, you know, it's more, it's extra. Oh, a benefit. So they come along, they say, now, as part of your benefits package, you can buy into our company's health care plan at a reduced rate. And we will match, the company will match your contribution each month. And, you know, you'll have health care instead of going out and buying it yourself. So then all of a sudden that just became the thing. You know, companies had to do that. So I remember, and oh, how things have changed. Seriously. I remember, I guess it was about 10 years ago. I was working for a company. I'm not lying. Best health insurance I ever seen in my life. I would go to the doctor, literally. I'd walk into the doctor, and they'd say, oh, hey, Charlie, how you doing? Pretty good. What you doing? I'm just here, you know, feeling a little, got a little cough here, and you want to get it taken care of. Oh, okay. You got your insurance card? We got your insurance card on file. Okay. So I'd go in, and I'd see the doctor, you know, I'd get my prescription, and I'd walk out, and then I would pay my $20 copay. And I would go on my merry little way. I was gone. I had nothing else to do with that transaction whatsoever. It was it. And then, like, I would get a statement saying, oh, $20 copay, everything else was taken care of. That was amazing. One of my stepdaughters at the time had tonsillectomy. $500 is what I paid out of pocket for her tonsillectomy. Never saw another bill. Now, this was, like I said, 10 years ago. It was amazing health care insurance. Amazing. Can you find a plan like that now that is at all affordable? You could take the money now, and I don't know why, and this is part of the thing. I could take the money now that I am spending on my health insurance premiums and combine that with my deductible and just save that money every month. And pretty much be able to cover all of my medical bills throughout the year because they force me. By the way, your health insurance now forces you to go to the doctor, right? You got to go, right? If you want to keep your premium, if you want to keep your good premiums, then you got to go see the doctor once a month. So I'll be scheduling my mandatory doctor visit coming up later on this month. So now, this last company that I worked for, you had to fulfill all of these different things to get your discounts. So you had to go to your doctor. You had to get a blood test. You had to, seriously, it was a list of things that you had to go in and click them off. Yes. Yes, I walk a mile every day. Of course I do. Yeah, I'll put that down. Fine, whatever. Yes, I participate in sports. Yeah, all right, whatever. I couch surf. How about that? That counts. And things like that. It was just very intrusive, very intrusive. So I'm not sure what now is in this new bill from the Republicans, but Man, I'll tell you what. Now, Jason Chaffetz, he's been in the news lately. He said that people should stop buying iPhones and able to afford health care. Here's what he had to say.
We're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people said that they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Hundreds of dollars for a new iPhone. And that is irritating when you see people, you know, I don't have health care. Oh, really? But you got the new iPhone 7? You got that? You can't pay for your health care, but you can... Oh, those are $200 sneakers. Oh, well, that's fine. Absolutely, you should have those. So, and everybody got upset at Chaffetz saying that. But guess who else said that a few months, or last year? Guess who else said that? Barack Obama. Barack Obama said the same thing. He said that you've got to make choices. Speaking of that, This was what Ben Carson had to say about immigrants and slavery the other day. Hopefully I got time to say this.
That's what America is about, a land of dreams and opportunity. There were other immigrants who came here in the bottom of slave ships, worked even longer, even harder for less.
All right, so he said that, and the left went crazy, lost their minds. They weren't immigrants, they were slaves. Guess who else said that last year? Basically the same thing. Barack Obama. He said that last year. It's okay. It's like Chris Plant, my buddy, says, it's good to be a Democrat. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. We will see you tomorrow morning. Y'all get out there and make it a great day, won't you? Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.